Yeah, I'm here. If anybody's interested.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn Mack, and so happy to be here with you this evening. Welcome, everyone. Hello, and I hope today has been a wonderful day for you all. It's no longer Monday, so there's a lot to be said for that, at least, and so we're very, very excited about that. But I wanted to just tell you how elated we are to have our special guest with us tonight. He is he's an accomplished actor, and he is best known for his portrayal of John Abbott on the number one rated CBS daytime drama, The Young and the Restless. He has also been called by his fans and others the last great crooner of our time. It is with great honor and pleasure to welcome the one and only Jerry Douglas. Hello.
Hi, dear. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you. Thank you so much for being our special guest this evening. We greatly appreciate it.
Okay, well, Pam Rogers is a dear girl, and I do things that she wants me to do. She's my friend.
Well, and she's a lovely, lovely person, and I really thank her so much for coordinating this. Kudos to Pam, and hello to her as well. It's great having you with us. It's such an honor, and, you know, I want to just go ahead and put it out there, and I first want to congratulate you, and it's a little bit of a delayed congratulations, but you and the entire cast and crew of YNR for 40 outstanding years in daytime television. I mean, that is no small feat, especially in this day and time in the world of daytime television. Congratulations to all of you. I mean, that is quite an accomplishment. I must tell you, I've been a daytime fan for just about that long. I mean, in terms of, you know, watching YNR and just following the show through the years. I grew up a CBS daytime gal and just grew to love the show and still a fan to this day. So it's a great honor to have you on the show. And
well, thank you. Thank you, dear.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you is, what do you think has been the secret to YNR's success through the years to keep him on the air? I mean, they've been the number one rated daytime drama for the longest time. And you know, there's obviously their reputation precedes them with the many years of great storylines and great cast, you know. What do you feel is the secret to the success of the show?
Well, it's generally speaking, when you talk about anything on television that was great, whether it's a nighttime series as far back as MASH or CIS, what is it called? I can't think of it. You know, the series that are very big hits, NCIS, all of them. In our case, the man that created the show, Bill Bell, who passed away about 5-6 years ago, he was a terrific writer before he turned Days of Our Lives from almost getting kicked off the air in the 60s into a very successful show. And then he created Young and Restless when he had the opportunity to have his own show in 1973. And he had great devotion. He didn't want to be a movie producer or nighttime television. He loved what he called the serials, which goes way back to when it was first radio. And he, you know, remembered it well, but it's the daytime series, the everyday series, having to write a 75-page script daily and constantly weave 25, 30 actors in various storylines. He was really brilliant at that. He's probably one of the 2 to 3 most gifted people that have ever tried to write. And when he passed away, the show has gone through at least 5 or 6 or 7 writers in the past 10 years. And I think Bill stopped writing somewhere in the late 90s. So let's just say at least the last 15 years has been at least that many, 5 or 6 writers. They just don't last. It's a demanding job. It's a very, maybe the most demanding job in television that there is. But that's the reason for its success, is how good the writing is. The actors have been together a long time. A lot of us have been there 30 years. Jeannie Cooper even longer. Melody Thomas even a little longer than me, 3 or 4 years. So when you have that kind of roots in a show, that's what makes it so great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing because as I've grown up watching Young and the Restless, you know, I feel like it's just been a part of my life, my family, and to see the same characters, you know, year in, year out, and just watching them grow and change, you know, it, not only with storylines, but just as they've developed as characters. I mean, it's just been amazing the talent that is on that cast and how things have just continued to just escalate and be what it is for Y&R. It's just a great, great, great show, and it's just amazing the writing. Like you say, I think he, in my opinion, is probably the best writer out there. He just had a magical way of writing storylines, and they just came to life. He came to life on air, you know, in no other way. It was just amazing what he could do, and it's so greatly missed. I mean, oh my gosh. The Bell family is incredible anyway, as a unit, but Bill Bell was just, you know, he was just phenomenal.
He was a master. He was a master, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, you spoke of many people on the show who have been there 30 years or more, and you're no exception. I mean, you came aboard Y&R in 82. And, and you know, congratulations on that, because that, again, is no small feat to be with one show for that long period of time. And how did the role of Y&R, John Abbott, come to be for you? How did that all happen?
Well, I made it brief. I never did a daytime show. I worked in California, I would say, from the late 60s when I really broke through, 67 or 8. I started to get fortunate and get some good parts, and became a decent enough actor that they would have me back a lot. And I started to build a career, and I did 3 pilots at different times. One of them was very disappointing. It was like the Waltons, and they loved the pilot at Universal, but the network didn't know what to do with that kind of show. It was a very family-oriented show. So there were a lot of disappointments like that. And then I was getting into an age where I couldn't play. And I played a lot of heavies. I never played nice men. Once in a while, I'd play a police officer or something like that. But those parts, in the pilot, I played a veterinarian doctor in New England, and that was the one I did around 1970. So all of that experience was such that I never had any interest in a daytime show. I was doing as well as they could, and maybe better in some ways financially by freelancing. And any one of the pilots would have made me a nighttime star, but that didn't happen. And then toward the early 80s, it was getting more difficult for me. I'm doing a radio show that you're on. My wife, Kimberly Douglas, just walked in the car where we're sitting. You know her from the Ellen Show and many, many others that she does. So basically what happened is I had heard about it from other fellows that I would meet on readings or things. We're all friends in the business when you've all been in it a while. And my agent called me. I went over to his office one day. He said, I want you to read this. I read it, and I thought it was a movie script. It was so well written. And I went in and met them sometime the following week. I think I was shooting an episodic show. I was guest starring in a show that week. And went over there, read for the producer, and then came back and tested a couple of times. And it worked, and I was very anxious because I had never done one. But it's you get into the technique of it. It's like doing a play every day, and that's basically what happened. And it's just been an astounding long, long run. Never expected it.
And as they say, the rest is history. I mean, you know, and I can say this because it just seems to be the right thing to say, that there is nobody else out there that I could have seen playing John Abbott all these years. I mean, for me personally, you know, your character on Y&R has always been that stoic character that just was kind of like, you know, Gene Cooper and Miss Chancellor. I mean, it's just the glue. There are just certain characters that's the glue that holds, you know, the unit together. And it's almost like whatever you said, just you can take it to the bank. You know, your character was always, he's always been that way. And now,
well,
you know,
a,
go ahead.
No, he was a reflection of Bill Bell, too. Bill Bell put a lot of himself in that character. And his family, his three kids, and John had three kids. So there was a lot of it that came from his creativity, yeah, that made you feel that way, the way he wrote.
Yeah,
it,
and
sure.
it worked, and it's been very convincing. And I know, you know, now that John Abbott is, you know, he's died, but he's come back so many times, you know, to visit from the grave, if you will. And I know Weiner fans have been thrilled to see you back on screen since that time, you know, off and on. And you know, but it, I have to tell you, it really is a different world for the Abbott family without John at the helm every day, you know, kind of steering Jack in the right direction and keeping him straight and giving him that. But it's nice now, the kind of the way, you know, they bring you back and he can kind of still tap Jack on the shoulder and say, you know, job well done, or, you know, or give some pause to think. So it's nice that they've still been able to integrate that, you know, and that it was never a character that's been written off. I don't know that the fans would have allowed that.
Well, they tried, but no, it took Lee, I mean, Jill, our new producer, actually is the one that brought me back on a more consistent basis, and it's been fun. And it does work better for the show because presence of the father is there, even as a ghost, a lot with Jack, and that makes you feel the consistency of the family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's good. I think it's good for the show. So.
Oh, yeah. And one thing I was curious about, why do you think it is that your character has been so popular with fans through the years? I mean, fans love you. I mean, they love the Castellaner, but there's just something about that whole John Abbott character that fans just, you know, he really is a true father figure. I mean, not only for his children on the show, but just for viewers like myself. I mean, you played it so well.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you. I think John represents the quality of a father that everybody would like, and many people don't have the good fortune of having, as well as that kind of husband as well. I think that basically is what made him so attractive to people. You know, his integrity and his reaching out to help rather than take. He's a giving man, you know, a very giving man. And that was easy for me to identify with. You know, no, I've never had that problem. I've always been very close with my own family and have a great, great marriage and a successful one with Kimberly for the same reasons, you know.
Oh, yeah. And are there any aspects to the character, John Abbott's personality, that mirror you in any way?
Well, my wife's sitting next to me, so I would only say, she says, is there anything about John Abbott that's a lot like me? And then she likes to introduce me to people saying he's nothing like John Abbott, but she's doing it for fun. And I think there's a lot that we have in common. There's no question about that. His sense of decency, but mostly, you can put on my grave, I will not lie to people. I won't tell you something that will hurt you, because that's cruel truth. But loving truth, never. Never fib, and neither is John. And there are certain elements that were easy for me to capture in that character. The minute I read him, I could identify very clearly. And as a matter of fact, when I read him, I had custody of my then, when I got the part, he was 12 years old, son, who was living with me, and my daughter was 16 or almost 17, living with me, going to school, and John Abbott was alone raising his three children. So the identification was huge.
Wow. It's just those little bits and pieces, you know, that maybe possibly viewers never knew, you know, about you personally. But I think that's the reason why your character has been so successful, because it's been so believable, because it's been, you know, it's funny because daytime drama fans, as you know, are some of the most passionate fans in the world of all, you know,
they are
televised fans. And you know, I really am interested to get your, you know, your thoughts on why do you think it is that sometimes, because of the passion of daytime drama fans, why do you think it is that they, that they have a hard time separating the character from the actor? Because you're in our lives 5 days a week, you know, for the most part. And
I think the reason for that is, in nighttime television, you do an episode in a day. The only thing that's consistent is the police department's two leads or whoever they use as core people. In daytime, you're watching a real story develop just like it does in life. That sometimes takes months. So you really can live through it. But you can almost say to yourself, if you're a fan, God, I almost experienced that myself, or I did experience it myself. And Bill Bell was really quite brilliant at knowing how to find those storylines that would people could grab onto. It's all in the writing. It's all in the writing. And that's what does it. And it's the, pardon me, it's the format of daytime that it can, that we used to take months developing stories. I don't think they do it quite as much today, but they still will take weeks and weeks to work out a storyline with Jack, like in the recent shows we've done, having a drug problem and fighting through it. All of that stuff, a lot of people have had the same kind of problem, not necessarily drugs, but weight, losing weight, fighting weight, all kinds of things that people struggle with in their life. And that's, I think it makes it very identifiable.
Yeah, and it's, you bring up a good point, because I know that, you know, comparatively to, say, a decade or more ago, the storylines today, they kind of, you know, the daytime shows kind of get through storylines a lot quicker than they used to. I mean, it used to be when I was out of school for the summer and I'd watch a storyline, it would kind of stay, it would unfold as the summer progressed. Now, they're a lot quicker and there's a lot quicker resolve. Do you think that's because society and life for viewers is just so fast-paced and they, you know, that's kind of sped up to kind of keep pace with the track of people and viewership?
Well, I think life is much quicker today than it was 30 years ago when I started. You have the internet, you have the Instagrams, the Twitter, all of the social aspects of computer world are so quick. I mean, things happen and they're instantly known throughout the world, no mind just this country. And the other thing is, economically, daytime is struggling a little bit more than it ever did before, getting the viewership they had. When I was in our prime period on Younger, we would get rating points as 8, 9, 10%, even go to 12 in the summer when college kids would get out, or high school kids that loved the show and watched it. Today, you don't have that audience because of the internet, because of their interest in it. My son, my youngest boy, Kim, and my, our baby boy is 15, and it's texting to death. They're on that phone all the time. So because of those elements, that's why the stories are a little quicker. They move quicker. They think that that's the retentive ability of the audience. Is it has to be quicker today. And if you're older and you remember it the old way, it just wouldn't work today. So, and maybe they're right. Because we've sustained good ratings for the last 5 or 6 years that I can remember that have done very well. You got to forgive me. I got a little sore throat if I'm coughing.
Bless you.
It's okay. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
Well, sure. I wanted to ask you what some of your fondest memories are of being on Y&R, either, you know, be it favorite storylines involving your character or just being part of the show for 30 plus years.
Well, I would say the most enjoyable period was when I first started, because they put the Abbotts together, and we worked together for about 8 years, and we were very close socially. You know, I was single. The man that played Jack, Terry Lester, was single. The girls that played Ashley and Tracy were. So we used to meet a lot on the weekends. We'd sometimes go to Terry's house, he had a piano, and he was a pianist, and sing together. We had a very close relationship, and it showed. The Abbotts actually drove that show, the hour show, for its beginnings to get it to the success it did. And then they developed another family with Eric Braeden and Melody, which are the Newmans, and they were like the dichotomy that battled each other, and it was the best time. I would say the 80s up till the middle 90s, which is when Bill Bell kept writing. I think he got sick somewhere around 95 or 6, and then for me it was never the same. Never the same.
Oh, yeah.
Never had a writer that was of his caliber, of his gifts. And that's just the way it is in life. But it was still good, and they were good. They did their best, and they did good work. But Bill Bell was a genius at it. And that's the difference. You can't, that's a gift God gives you. You have no discussion on that.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, from a viewer standpoint, and I think I speak for a lot of fans out there, you know, I think fans have greatly missed that writing of Bill Bell. I mean, the show is still a great show, but there was just something, like I said earlier, magical about the way he wrote stories and told stories and how the actors played it out. It really did, you know, grab you and pull you in, and you couldn't stop watching. I mean, it's just, but I think daytime as a whole has changed so much, you know, over the last decade or so anyway. And it's, you know, a big part of it has, from the Young and the Restless, I think, has been that missing link of Bill Bell, but also, you know, just the daytime television as a whole has changed. You know, we've lost some daytime serials that were, you know, longest running and just have, you know, had their last curtain call. We've got a couple that are coming back and headed to the internet. I mean, it's interesting how the dynamic of all of that has changed and,
yeah,
you know, and how it continues to evolve.
No, I mean,
yes,
they're
going
to try to bring back all my children. I don't know if it'll work on the internet because internet is speed, moment to moment, quickly, right now, yesterday. It isn't anything that's going to linger a long time. I hope it works, but I don't know if it will. You know, they're trying to bring back something that worked 10 years ago. I don't think it'll work today. I don't know. It's hard to say. That's
it's
my
really
guess.
It's really
hard
to say.
Yeah.
It
I know
is
my
hard
kid
to say,
won't watch
I...
it.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a hard call to make because, you know, if you think about those long time, you know, AMC and One Life to Live fans who, you know, grew so accustomed to watching those shows, just like, you know, anybody watching Young and the Restless or any of the others that have been long time fans,
yeah.
That's a transition that's going to be difficult, I think, for some to make just because
yeah.
It won't be the same, you know, because it's not on a network channel, you know, and
yeah.
That's the big factor. Well, it's one of those we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
No, it's going to be on the web. We'll see if people will go to that site and watch. We'll see.
That's right.
You never
one
know.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about that doesn't get talked about very much aside of you is you have a musical side, and you've been called by your fans and others one of the last great crooners, as I said in the intro, and how does that make you feel? I mean, I have listened to your music, Jerry, and it's phenomenal. I mean, I have to agree. You are kind of like one of the last great crooners. You know, that's kind of like an untapped secret to Jerry Douglas. And all the years I watched you on YNR, it wasn't until recently that I learned that you have this crooner side to you. And I'm like, wow, you know, I wish you had been doing this on YNR. I mean, this is great.
Well, we did a little bit. I used to sing a couple of times with the girl that played Gina, Patty Weaver. We did a couple
mm-hmm.
of things together. But I always sang. I started that way. I love it. It's enjoyable. And I did that CD that you're talking about. That was done about 6-7 years ago. And we used to go out and do some dates, but it's very difficult to do that today. The venues are not what they were to work. And I just have other things I'm interested in doing that would prevent me from doing it if I was going out every weekend to do dates, you know. But I do love
mm-hmm.
singing. It's a great expression. And singing lyrics is like telling a story musically like you do when you do the words of an actor. You know, it's very similar. But thank you. That's very sweet of you to say that you like my singing. You're the
well,
only one.
I do.
That, see, I finally got somebody that likes my singing.
Well,
oh,
I
and
do
my
like
mother,
your singing.
My mother's in heaven right now, so she was the only other one that liked it. So at least I got two people. Yeah.
Well, you're very, very funny. I do. I love that style of music anyway. I love, you know, anything that has a jazz kind of, you know, big band. I mean, I love that whole classic jazz standard period of music. I'm a big music buff anyway, but I was like, who knew, you know? But you're actually very good, and I would just love to see you put out at least another album in your time. That would be awesome.
Yeah, the problem you have with that, dude, in order to do an album, you have to sell them a lot. And the audience for that kind of music has gotten very narrow and small.
Yeah.
So, you know, we sold a lot of our album the first year or two. We went to Canada, did some tours there. And then I used to have a website that sold it, and they just weren't moving any, so it was silly. We just ended it and figured it was fun and enjoyed it, and that was that. I still have a lot of CDs, you know, but you have one? Do you have the CD?
I do not have the CD, but I've gone to your site many, many times and just listened to your music. I love it. It's just
well, I'll try to get it to you. My girl knows your number, doesn't she? She has contact
with you. She certainly does.
Right, well,
and
I'll talk to her and send her a couple and have her send one to you. Okay?
Oh, you're so kind. Oh, thank you so much. That is very special. Thank you so much. Well, before we let you go, have you got a moment or two to take a call or two? And
you have somebody calling in?
Yeah, I have someone calling in.
All right, let's do that, and then we'll try to wrap it up because we've got to go pick up my boy at school shortly. I'd appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But go ahead.
Hello, you're on with Jerry.
Well, hello, Mr.
Hello?
Douglas. How are you?
Okay, good. And who is calling?
Oh, come on. You don't recognize his voice? It's your girl.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I have to send you a couple of CDs for this lovely girl and her
radio
show.
Oh, she's a sweetheart, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I know. My wife's telling him I'm on live. Did she think I thought we were on movie screen? She's yelling at me. Kimberly's right
next
to me.
I want to ask you a question.
What?
I want to ask you a question, Jerry. Since you've done acting and music, is there something that you haven't done yet that you would like to still do?
If there was a great movie script that was, and the director was an exceptionally gifted guy, and it was funded well enough to do well, not necessarily that you make a fortune doing it, that would be fun to do. That I would look forward to doing, yeah. To do another TV show, I've done it. I've done so many of them. It would be okay. It's fun. I remember I did Cold Case a few years ago, and it was a wonderful part, very demanding, and I enjoyed doing it very much. They were happy. I was, but not the same as a new original film that would have some originality to it. That would be exciting to do.
Okay.
And that's my answer, dear.
All right. Don, do you have a Skype call? I thought somebody just sent me a message saying they were in Skype.
I do not, actually. No, I do not.
Okay, maybe they hung up then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Pam.
Well, Jerry, thanks a lot for doing this interview with Don. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And Kim says hello to you. She's sitting here.
Hi, Kim. Yeah. How are you?
Hi, Pam. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
All right. Well, I'm glad you two chatted. And I wish you luck, and I will, Pammy. I'll send her your I have to get your address. I'll call you and get your home address again. I know I have it somewhere, I think. And I'll mail you a couple of CDs, a few, so you can give them to her, okay?
Okay, Don, you got to give me your address.
Huh?
I will. I'll get that over to you, Pam, right after the show. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
All right, you guys put it together, and we'll do it, okay? And thank you, and good luck with your show. I hope you have great success with it, dear.
Thank you so very much, Jerry. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and we look forward to seeing more and more of you on Y&R. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Okay.
Take care, sir.
All
righty.
All right, well, be well, and bye-bye, girls. Nice talking.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, what a true gentleman. I mean, Jerry Douglas is an absolute delight. He is, you know, he is just as much a gentleman as you heard. as he is on Linar. And I love when we can talk to characters live like this and talk to the actual person and not, you know, the character that they portray. And it's always nice to hear, you know, their point of view on things and to just hear the person and not the actor so much. And just a sweet man, very sweet. And he's sending me his CD. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. He has great music, and my mom is listening tonight. I'm sure she's probably going, good, I want one. Mom, I'll send you one. But in any event, we want to thank Jerry Douglas for being our very special guest this evening. He was very limited on time, so if you called in to speak with him, I do apologize we did not get to your call, but at some point in the very near future, we'll try to have him back just to take calls, to take some fan calls, and do less interview and more fan calls, and so we will try to put that together. And a big thanks to Pam for helping put this together tonight and coordinating this. This was great. Thank you so much. And to all the listeners who tuned in for this, we greatly appreciate you being here. If you're brand new to our show, this is Behind the Mic Radio, and I am your host, Dawn Mack, and we're so glad to have you with us. Welcome aboard. We hope that this will not be your last time with us. We would love to have you visit anytime. And just to give everybody a quick rundown, coming up on Thursday evening, if you are a Brady Bunch fan, if you grew up watching the Mighty Six, as I like to call them, the Brady Bunch, we have Jan Brady, Eve Plum. She will be with us on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern right here, live in studio, and we will be doing about a 30-minute interview with her. So I would suggest if you're, you know, Brady Bunch fan, you want to call in and speak with her, try to call before the show kicks off at 7 and try to get in queue so that, one, we can, you know, we can find out who's calling, and two, we can be ready to have the calls ready to roll when we start taking those. And so E. Plum, Jan Brady, she will be here 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday evening. And so with that, that is going to wrap our show for this evening. Thank you again to everyone who tuned in, and thanks also to our very special guest, Jerry Douglas. And with that, I'll say have a great evening, good night, and we'll see you back here right again real soon. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast and, as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop's baked from scratch custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.